my big in the hallway. He just waved at me.
Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska has a new Haines community director. Local nonprofit sees some cash from the Pick, Click, Give program. And the state's fast ferry comes under fire in Juneau courts. It's the KHNS News. I'm Adam Richard. This news and more coming up next. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Haines has a new big mama. Sarah Elliott talks with us about her new job.
It was just so exciting because that's what the whole point is, to get these kids to be involved and to have someone that they can wave at in the hallway and, you know, do activities with after school. And so that's just pretty cool. Like, wow, that worked just like that. Bam.
Sarah is the new Haines Community Director for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska. This isn't her first time working with children of Haines or planning things for them to do.
I worked for the borough as a community development director for 3 years, organizing youth events. And I worked at the preschool for a year, Chilkat Valley Preschool.
Having been involved with the youth of Haines already, what was it that drew her to this particular nonprofit?
It's a very supported nonprofit. Like, I realized within my first week of employment that there's a lot of supporters in the community, from parents that have kids in the program to bigs in the program who participate in the mentorship program. And so it's really nice to work for an organization that has so much community support. It's also nice because I'm actually working for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska, so there's a lot of support, like just the training, supervision, it all comes from Homer and Anchorage and Fairbanks, and so that's really nice. If I have a question, I can just pick up the phone and call someone.
With the community behind the program, what kind of impact are the bigs making in the lives of the littles?
It's huge. The littles that we have just some form of challenging factor in their life. It doesn't have to be extreme at all. And so for some of them, you know, it might be so little as just being an only child and wanting someone else to hang out with and to spend their time with, or have parents that are working a lot and their parents want them to be able to go out and do more stuff and they're working every weekend. So the kids get to maybe go fishing, go hunting, do things like that their parents might not be able to do with them. Or, you know, the kids that in the school program with high school bigs, you know, they get to kind of hang out with this cool big that might be on the basketball team or the wrestling team, and they really look up to them, and it gives them kind of someone that they can lean on and see in the school and wave to if they're a new kid to town or if they don't have a lot of family yet.
Anyone who has put time into a community service such as Big Brothers Big Sisters before probably understands that although it is about giving to the community, there is without a doubt a return that one gets for their time put in. What is it that Sarah finds the most rewarding about this job?
Matching kids. Like my first day on the job, we matched a younger kid with a high school kid, and he was just so excited and talking. They talked about the activities that they were going to do together at school, from playing basketball to board games, and the kid was just like elated. Like he couldn't even contain his excitement.
Anyone out there thinking that this sounds kind of cool? Wondering how you could help be a mentor to a youth in Haines? Or maybe you're worried that you aren't quite what Big Brothers Big Sisters is looking for, or even worse, that you aren't what a little is looking for. This should put your mind at ease.
You know, what kind of person do you want in your big? You know, who should I look for? And he said, I want a nice guy that wears a baseball hat. And I was like, okay, I think I can find that.
If that helps your confidence a little and you still think you might want to help, this is how to get things started.
They can call me at 766-2151, and I'm in the office Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the Gateway Building, and I really need bigs. And so I have a lot of kids that are signed up and all their paperwork's ready to go, but I don't have enough bigs. So it takes a pretty extensive interview just to make sure that the bigs are, the littles are safe, and we put their safety first. But it's a really rewarding program for the littles and the bigs, and so anyone that wants to do it, male, female. You can do a couples program. So if you're a couple that are like, well, I don't, you know, we kind of like to do everything together. It's like you can get a little and you guys can have a little together.
For now, it looks like the littles of Haines are in good hands.
Judge Philip Pallenberg enters the courtroom lugging a stack of files and documents easily a foot high. He's about to get handed a few more accordion folders that will extend that by several more inches.
And I think the state fired the opening salvo in this naval battle, so I think the state should go first.
Last Friday's skirmish in Juneau Superior Court was over the engines installed in the state's fast ferries Fairweather and Chenega, relatively new ships with diesel-powered jet drives that push the catamarans at a nice 32-knot clip. That's about twice the speed of the ferry system's standard monohulls. State Attorney Dana Burke is leading the attack for the ferry system, but with too much wind in his sails, he runs out of time to carefully fire off excerpts of contract documents and internal memos. Burke says manufacturers of the fast ferries breached warranties that called for repairs and, if necessary, replacement of the engines. And for both ships, all eight engines have been valued at a total of $20 million.
And we cannot wait. The Fairweather and the Chenega, because of the failed repair efforts and because of the loss of engine life, are in serious danger of being decertified for use in the state's passenger transportation system in the very near future.
Burke wants the ship and engine builder's liability extended to the engine's defects, especially when they admitted to using the wrong kind of coolant.
In May 2005, MTU instructed the state to stop using the particular brand of coolant, PowerCool 3000, because of MTU's concern that it might degrade a layer of molybdenum, thank you, on the inside of the crankcase cylinder bores.
David McMahon, representing the ferry builder Robert Director Incorporated, says the state's aim is way wide. They're not entitled to any more rights after expiration of a standard warranty. The state's real target is MTU Friedrichshafen and MTU Detroit Diesel, the German company that built the engines and the American company that's been doing the subsequent repairs.
We've introduced evidence that we have, in fact, a solution, and that's that this ring that we've been talking about, the interstitial ring.
John Dawson has already mustered his crews to load and prepare their guns, and he's been patiently waiting for the attackers to come within range.
Scaremongering and hyperbole aside, the principal issue in this case involves only one component of these engines, the engine block.
Dawson says it's unclear what really caused the faster-than-expected deterioration. Instead of the coolant, maybe it was the Alaska environment, improper maintenance by ferry crews, even excessive vibration caused by a misaligned installation in the shipyard.
The state can't simply say, we're not going to let you do what you need to do to fix the engines, but that's what they want. They want to prevent us from fixing the engines. They want to prevent us from putting in a solution that is economical, instead get new engines. It's not the law, and it's not what the contract provides for.
But as in any courtroom battle, the attacking forces always get off the last shot. Burke swings around to come abeam for one last set of broadsides.
I need this court to say whether it's engines or cylinder blocks or whatever, look, something's wrong with these engines. These engines, they were lemons. They were defective for whatever reason. We can litigate tomorrow and next year about whether the molybdenum was the primary cause or the secondary cause or whether there have been other causes. We can have a trial about that. We need to get past square one, which is these were defective upon delivery and someone is responsible.
Last Friday's hour and 20-minute engagement focused not on any factual disputes, but primarily arcane and esoteric interpretations of liability and warranty law. Because of the fog of battle, it'll be a while before Judge Pallenberg tallies up any casualties.
All right, then we'll go off the record. Thank you, counsel, for the arguments. They've been helpful. There's a lot to digest here, so I wouldn't be checking the mail tomorrow for a decision.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And it'll be some time before it's known whether the ferry system gets any satisfaction with last Friday's action and if the campaign continues to next September with the courtroom equivalent of Battle of Trafalgar. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
If you give, and your neighbor does, and another, it will add up quickly. With one donation at a time, we can make good things happen all over Alaska. That's the slogan for the Pick, Click, Give program. Alaska's Department of Revenue released figures this week showing most of the charitable cash contributions made from Alaskans' 2011 permanent fund dividends. Donations were given through the Pick, Click, Give program. Pick, Click, Give allows Alaskans receiving a permanent fund dividend to give some or all of their PFD to approved nonprofit organizations. Nearly 19,000 Alaskans gave $1.5 million this, the third year of the program, nearly tripling numbers from the first year. Here are some preliminary totals for contributions given to nonprofits in the area. HARC received $2,975, Haines Dolphin Swim Team, $325, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska, $18,150, Boy Scouts of America, $2,374, Chilkat Valley Preschool, $750, Friends of Haines Borough Public Library, $2,250, Hospice of Haines, $2,250, Lynn Canal Broadcasting, $825, Lynn Canal Conservation, $650, Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center, $625, Tok Chinook Watershed Council, $1,475, and Salvation Army of Alaska, $23,334. To find out more about how to make a donation next year, see the 2012 list of approved nonprofits, or to see how to get your nonprofit on the list, you can go to www.pickclickgive.org or call at 1-888-785-4438. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.